Okay, so the first few topics we did, including what we did last night, we focused on tshuva topics. So now I want to just turn away from the tshuva topics, as important as they are, and I want to turn to Rosh Hashanah, as Rosh Hashanah, and we're gonna do it through. I tried to really limit the sources so we could just highlight the central question. And if you guys want, we can elaborate on these sources afterwards. But what I want to do is really try to get to the identity of Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah, as is highlighted by the Gemara, and the Gemara I did not give you, though as I'm saying it, I realize I had originally put it and then cut it out, so I probably should have included it. But you know this without even the Gemara. Rosh Hashanah is an interesting category because, besides for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, well, let's put it differently. The two major chagim that we have, when are they during the year? Like, what part of the month, rather? When are they during the month? No, besides Rosh Hashanah. Besides Rosh Hashanah, when are they? Right? The two longest holidays of the year, when are they? And Nisan, and what day in Nisan, right? Right, the 15th, right? Tet Vav Nisan, smack in the middle of the month, at the full moon, right? At the full moon. Okay, good. That's Pesach. Thank you, Shlomo. Now, the other major chag, Sukkot, and then Shmini Atzeret, which follows, right, are also in Tishrei. And what day of the month are they? It's not a trick question. Yeah, Sukkot is also on the 15th. Rosh Hashanah is unique amongst all the Jewish holidays, that it falls on the beginning of the month, as the Gemara in one place puts it. I didn't put it on, but I'll pull it up for you now. One second. I pulled it up on my screen, so on my Bar Ilan here. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, quoting a pasuk, "Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageinu," blow the shofar when? So b'kesel yom chageinu. Without getting to what it means in Pshat, right? The Gemara says, "Well, kese, the same shorash as mitkase, it's to cover." So, ezuhu chag shachodesh mitkase bo. In which holiday is the month? By month, they don't mean the month, but they mean the moon, which is how we determine the month. Is it covered? Heve omer ze rosh hashanah. That is Rosh Hashanah. Right, Rosh Hashanah is, as we all know, in addition to being the first day of the year in the sense of years, it is also the first day of the month of Tishrei. Now, it's obviously not the first month, right? That's wrong, right? What is the first month in terms of months in the Jewish calendar? Nisan, right? Because in the Torah, we don't get the months, don't have names. They're just the first month, the second month, etc. Nisan is the first. This month is the first of months, and all the holidays in Nisan are Bachodesh Hashivi'i. They're in the seventh month, which we call Tishrei. Okay, so what I want to do is try to get at the heart of this day we call Rosh Hashanah, which falls out in Rosh Chodesh by definition, and try to figure out its identity. Because on the one hand, it is a Rosh Chodesh, on the other hand, it is a Chag. And the question of how those identities work together, if they do, is a fascinating question, and we're going to examine it through a small halacha in Hilchot Tfilah. Okay? So, let's pull it up on the screen. The issue that we're going to focus on is the question of repeating the Amida. Obviously, it's not Shmona Esrei, it only has seven brachot. Even though our normal Shemona Esrei has 19 brachot, we'll call it Shemona Esrei anyways. but the Amidah, right? So the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah night. The question that we're going to get to is what happens if you miss key parts of that tefillah? What if you miss key parts? So in order to understand the way in which Rosh Hashanah might be unique, we need to look at Rosh Chodesh and then see if we can contrast it with Rosh Hashanah. So let's for a moment look at Rosh Chodesh, okay? Normal halacha, let's say it is Shacharit on Rosh Chodesh, Cheshvan. And I'm sure this has never happened to you, but you finish Shmona Esrei on a Tuesday morning, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and you realize you forgot Yaleh V'Yavoh. So what's the halacha? You repeat Shmona Esrei, right? Very simple. What happens if you miss Yaleh V'Yavoh Mincha? You repeat Shmona Esrei. What happens if you miss Yaleh V'Yavoh at Maariv? You don't have to repeat. Okay, good. What's the source for this? Great. Exactly. So Moshe, you want to take the Gemara? I mean, they only sanctify it, right? I mean, it's not just count, it's sanctify, right? Remember, the original way that you sanctify the moon was that witnesses would come. They would tell the Beit Din, we saw the moon. They would test them, make sure they saw the same thing. They saw it plausibly, etc. And then they would say, Mikudash, Mikudash. Right? When they said Mikudash, Mikudash, when they sanctified the moon, right? They sanctified the month. It became Rosh Chodesh. Right? And that was done during the day. Okay, good. Well, actually, before we continue this Gemara, why is it that we only do it during the day? What's the source for that? That's number two, right? All right, why is that we only sanctify it during the day? So this is the Gemara's question, Rosh Hashanah. This one I'll read, and then I'll turn it back to Moshe. V'lekadshe v'lelya, why is this true? Why don't we just do it at night? Right, that's when the people saw the moon. So why don't we just sanctify the month at night? So the Gemara says no. Halachically speaking, it is a legal process. It is a court decision. Parallel, conceptually similar to, conceptually connected to, however you want to take it, a monetary law. Midei dehave adine mamanot, just like monetary law. Ditnan, and the Mishnah tells us that dine mamanot danin bayom v'gomrin balayla. Monetary law, you can judge during the day, and if you start the process during the day, you can close the case at night. So hachanami mikachin balelya kamash malan. Right? You might have thought that it was like monetary law, meaning you might have thought that because it is a court case like monetary law, so you should be able to at least do it at night, just like in the case of monetary law, you can at least finish the process at night. Right? You can't start it, but you could finish it. Kamash Malan is not true. The Eman Hanami, the Gemara says, why not? Right? Meaning in the sense that it's a legal process, why can't you do it at night? So, Amar Kra, Kichok Li Yisrael, who? Mishpat Leilohe Yaakov, Ema Teve Chok, Bigmar Din. Because we compare it not to the entire process, but to the Gemar Din, the Kari Le Rachmana Mishpat. And that is the mishpat, is the judgment part of it, and mishpat bayom, right? We said you have to start the process of mishpat during the day, so avhachinami bayom. Okay, so whatever it is, without getting to all the details of that Gemara, but the point is, sanctifying the moon is a legal process, and there are certain limitations on legal processes that make it that they have to be during the day. Fine, great. So Moshe, continue. No, mistabra doesn't mean, right? It makes sense. Well, what's a full month? Right, meaning 30 days in the month rather than 29. Right, meaning yes, we on a 30 in a in the month following a 30-day month we have 2-day Rosh Chodesh, but Chodesh Mele means a 30-day month. Right, that's why it has 2 days Rosh Chodesh, because the first day is the last day of the previous month. Right, so the Chodesh Mele is 30 days. Fine. Now, why do we have 30-day months and 12 and 29-day months? Why? I'm asking you, right? Make sure we have basic idea here. Why? It's not a leap year thing. It's a mathematical thing. It's a mathematical thing. What is the mathematical reason here? Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Right? This is not a, right? This is not a, the halacha reflects a very simple reality right here. I pulled it up for you. Okay? On Google. Right? This is not a halachic source. You can look. What is a lunar month? It's the duration between successive new moons, also called a lunation or synodic month. It has a mean period of 29.53059 days, or 29 days, 12 hours, and 44 minutes, right? Approximately, right? Now, since that is the case, amazingly, we can't do months in half days, right? Therefore, they alternate between 29 and 30. That's all, right? Very simple. Purely purely astronomical, mathematical, that's all. Fine, good. So, returning now to the source. So, based on that, he says, Mistabra milta dirav bechodesh malay. Why? Moshe, you're reading. Why does that make sense? Right, aval bechodesh chaser machzirin otav. So, in a 30-day month, you don't have to go back. In a 29 month, you do have to go back. You do have to go back. Why? Let's pull it up. Here, if you, I probably, look, the benefit of doing the Gemaras that you have is that, you know, you always have the option of looking at Rashi, but if I didn't give you Rashi, then I'll pull it up on the screen. Let's, here, second. Okay. Okay. Share screen again. Fine. Okay. Okay. Here. Right. So Rashi on that line says, "Bechodesh Malay, kishachodesh shavar Malay, osin rosh chodesh shnei yamim." Right, you make Rosh Chodesh 2 days. Hilkach yachar lamar lemachar darvich lemachar Rosh Chodesh gamur yoter min arisha. Right, exactly as Moshe said. Right, or a little bit more than Moshe said. Right, but as Moshe said correctly, when there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, so maybe you'd say, look, you'll say it tomorrow. Now, you could say this in different ways. Moshe's svara is very simple. Right, which is, look, you'll see it tomorrow, big deal. Right? No big deal. Right? Rashi says a little bit more than that, which is, you'll say it tomorrow, and the second day of Rosh Chodesh is the more real Rosh Chodesh. because it's actually the first day of the month, right? The first day that we celebrate Rosh Chodesh of a 30, right, in a month following a 30-day month, the first day of Rosh Chodesh is really the last day of the last month, right? So you'll just say Alav Yavo on the real, real Rosh Chodesh, like the real first day of the month. It's a big deal, right? So that's Ameimar's Svara. What does Ravashi say to him? Amar le Ravashi la Meimar, yeah. Moshe, finish off the passage. You're on mute. Unmute yourself, yeah. He says, Michdi, right? He said, Michdi, Rav Tamok Amar. Rav told you his Svara. Don't give me a new Lumdus, right? Don't give me a different Svara, right? Your Svara, you can make it up on the real day of Rosh Chodesh, right? That's not what he said, right? Rav Tamok Amar. Rav said his own Svara. Don't give me your own, right? His Svara was what? You're only Mekadesh the Chodesh during the day. So Mali Chaser, Mali Malay. So who cares what type of month it is? Ella Lo Shna. So there is no difference. Okay? That's the halacha. Rosh Chodesh, we do not repeat Yalev Yavo at night. Okay? Now, if you look at Tosfot here, I gave you, Tosfot says, V'yesh mefarshim, some say, the dafka balayla rishonayin machzirin oto, l'fi she'ein makdishin hachodesh balayla. Avo balayla shniya machzirin oto, shekvar mikudash miyom shelifanav. Right? Some say that this is only true on the first night, because it's true that you don't sanctify Rosh Chodesh on the first night, right? But on the second night of Rosh Chodesh, we already would have sanctified it on the day before, right? However, that doesn't seem to be right, right? Because that's against the Gemara, and therefore Tosfos' conclusion is v'lo nireh lechalek. We do not distinguish, right? Now, what that seems to mean is something like this. The Hava Mina in the Gemara and in Tosfot, right, seems to be that, well, you explain to me, right? What's the Havamina, right? The Havamina seems to be either, as we saw in the Gemara, that when there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, if you don't say it on the first night, well, you make it up on the second night, or that's the real Rosh Chodesh, right? Or there's a very practical Svara, right? There's another practical Svara which we haven't raised, which is, because you aren't Mekadesh, well, or let's zero in on it. Why does the fact that we aren't Mekadesh L'Chodesh at night, why does that mean that we don't say Yalav Yavo at night? There's two ways of taking that. One is practical, and one is fundamental. Okay? So how does that explain it? What is the fact that we don't say Kiddush HaChodesh at night? Why does that mean that we don't say we don't repeat Shemona Esrei if we forget Yalav Yavo at night? Yeah? Okay, good. Right, so one is to say, listen, fundamentally speaking, that's what makes it Rosh Chodesh. Until it makes it Rosh Chodesh, it's not Rosh Chodesh. Now, it's true that retroactively, if we're Mekadesh the Chodesh in the day, the night will become part of Rosh Chodesh, retroactively. But the fact that we're only Mekadesh the Chodesh during the day shows that at some level, right, it's not really Rosh Chodesh until you're Mekadesh v'Chodesh or something like that, right? Good. What's a practical Svara? Give me a practical reason why the fact that we're only Mekadesh v'Chodesh during the day means that we don't repeat Shemona Esrei if we forget V'Yalav Yavo at night. Right, meaning? Right, that's another fundamental one. But give me a practical one. There's a very practical Svara. Which is, very good, right? We have a calendar. They didn't, right? So at night, you never know for sure that it's Rosh Chodesh, right? You just don't know, right? Now, what's the nafkamina? If it's the practical svara that you don't know, so then what night should it apply to? The first night, the second night of Rosh Chodesh, or both? Only the first, very good. And that seems to be the havamina in Tosfot. But the fact that Lamaskana, we don't paskin that way, seems to show that we hold that this is fundamental, right? That because of the way the Kiddush HaChodesh process goes, it shows you that Rosh Chodesh is, right, more fundamentally a day experience by virtue of the fact that we only ever really create Rosh Chodesh during the day. And therefore, the fact that because of Safek and whatever, we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, that doesn't change the fundamental nature of the day versus night, right? Where night is just fundamentally not really Rosh Chodesh in the way the day is, right? And that seems to be the Havamina and Maskana in Tosfot. Okay? Now, I'm just going to break into parentheses for a second here. One of the things you will discover in my shir that's not true in everybody's shir is that I do care about at least making a mention of halacha l'maaseh, of making sure you know the practical halacha of what we're doing, and not just the lumdus. So, the psak is, right? What is the standard psak? The standard psak is? Very good. We never repeat Yalav Yavo if you get it, Marav. And I remember when I was in Shana Aleph, right? A very long time ago, someone asked me this question, right? He forgot Yalav Yavo, Marav, and there was, I was standing there and someone else was standing there. The other person is the same year as me in Yeshiva, very big Talmud Chacham. Very big Talmud Chacham. I won't give away information because it would identify him, but suffice it to say he is a Magid Shir in a very respectable institution. Very, very, very prominent Talmud Chacham. He said, what do you mean? It's second night Rosh Chodesh, right? Why would you? Of course you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. By this point, you should know that it's Rosh Chodesh, right? And I said to him, I was like, look, I respect the Lamdus, but you understand. That was the Havamina in Tosfot. This is the Maskana in Tosfot. This is how we paskin. Kol HaKavod on your Lamdus. But remember, you have to get from the Lamdus to Halacha L'maaseh, right? So I'm glad we know the Havamina of Tosfot. I'm glad you know the Maskana of Tosfot, right? But in the end, that we paskin like the Maskana of Tosfot, which is you never repeat Yalav Yavo, Shemona Esrei for forgetting Yalav Yavo at night. I'm going to hope that by this point, that person knows the halacha. I'm sure he does. He really is a massive Talmud Chacham. Much more significant Talmud Chacham than he's a very, 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 very smart person. He's a very serious Talmud Chacham. It was a mistake that was not becoming. Even then, when we were teenagers. but this is what happens if you only care about Lamdus and not halacha. And no, I will not tell you, even if you ask me who it was. Okay, fine. But with that in the background, let us now turn to Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And I want to look at two sources about Rosh Hashanah. Before we look at them, let's go straight into it. I won't say anything. Commenting on this Gemara. Okay, Rabbeinu Yona or Tamidei Rabbeinu Yona. In the Gemara, it's called Tamidei. In the back of the Gemara, it's called Tamidei Rabbeinu Yona. It might be Rabbeinu Yona, it might be Tamidei Rabbeinu Yona, whatever exactly it is. But on the riff in Brachot, you have a commentary called Tamidei de Rabbeinu Yona or Rabbeinu Yona. Fine. So on Daf Yoted Amud Aleph in the Dape Harif, right? The riff has his own pagination in the back. He comments on this Gemara. Okay, and in his analysis, he gets to the question of what exactly is the identity of this day we call Rosh Hashanah. Okay, who wants to be daring and take Rabbeinu Yona? It's not a terrible read, but it's definitely not as easy as. Okay, look at the courage. Wait, who just said that? Kobe? Kobe, okay, good. Well, when you didn't mention Rosh Chodesh, right? Kishelo hizkir shel Rosh Chodesh, right? Right. Exactly. Right? Why? Right? What's his argument? Right? His argument is what? Right? When it's holy, right? Meaning if Rosh Chodesh, the reason that we don't repeat is because it's not sanctified at night, right? That's not true of Shabbat and Yom Tov. Shabbat and Yom Tov are sanctified by night. Their entire day is equally holy, right? Therefore, if you forget to say Mikadesh Shabbat, you forget to say Mikadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, obviously, you have to repeat the Amidah. Okay. And now he says, right, this is a second alternative, right? So let's just, for clarity, let's write out the possibilities here. Okay, so possibility one is, okay, good. So let's, right, why, right, why? What does he say? Right, so we're going to have to come back to this phrase in a second. But, right, here. I'll put it here for now. Right, Rosh Hashanah is talui, right, is contingent on Rosh Chodesh. Okay. I'll come back to that in a second, but let's just get it down on, right, let's get it down. Good. Okay, what's the second possibility he brings? Alimatve is stronger. Right. Right, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh. Right, we don't say Mikadesh, right, Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron, V'Rosh Chodeshim. Right, we just say Mikadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron. Right, so Yesh Lanu Ladunoto Kimo Yom Tov, Miladunoto Kimo Rosh Chodesh. Me'ein Yom Tov. Okay, good. Right, so he has two positions. Right, he quotes a position that he rejects, who says that Rosh Hashanah is talui b'Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, just like on Rosh Chodesh, you don't repeat the Amidah if you forget Yalav Yavo at night. You don't repeat the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah if you forget Mikadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. And he rejects it. Right, so the Nuchalomar, right, meaning, right, the second one, right, which becomes the accepted one, but right, Nuchalomar, right, which seems to be, right, again, Nuchalomar is either it's possible or you could respond, right, and this is the proper one, but whatever it is, right, so the second possibility, which is you do repeat, right? Now, let's go back to the first possibility and let's try to analyze it, right? His justification is, Rosh Hashanah kevan shetalui b'Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah is contingent on Rosh Chodesh. What does he mean by that line? What might that line mean? Tell me what that means. And therefore, that's definitely what it means, but let's push it. So therefore what? Explain it to me, right? Be very precise. Yes, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Rosh Chodesh. The beginning of the year is the beginning of the month. Great. And therefore what? Why? Okay. So what Moshe seems to be trying to get at, right, is that fundamentally, right, Rosh Hashanah equals or at least connected to the concept of Rosh Chodesh, meaning they don't just happen to overlap, right? The fact that Rosh Hashanah is by definition a Rosh Chodesh tells you that, right, they are conceptually, fundamentally connected. Right, are fundamentally connected, and therefore the laws, right, are similar, right? Good. What's another way of reading it? I think this is the better read, but if we hadn't read the second sentence, I think that would be another possible read. I think there's good reason to reject it, right? But as we've talked about before, and I'm sure the Rambam guys have heard this. I'm sure, right? Is you got to figure out whether the distinction is fundamental or practical, right? Is the Svara here fundamental or not? It might not be. There is a practical way of reading it, which is, right? Just like we asked before, right? We asked, why don't you repeat Shmona Esrei if you forget Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh? One possibility is, fundamentally, it's not really Rosh Chodesh yet. The other possibility is, you don't know that it's Rosh Chodesh until the day, right? So you could have said the same thing here, which is, right? Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, you never really know until the morning if it is Rosh Hashanah, right? You can't say that about every holiday, because every holiday is not in the first of the month. Right? That's what I'm saying. You could say that, well, Rosh Hashanah is the only one in the first of the month, so you don't know till tomorrow. That's not true of any other holiday, because you know, because it's not the first of the month. Now, which of these two reads is more likely in Rabbeinu Yonah? Okay, so linguistically, right, this one does have a linguistic advantage, right? Because talui, right, because, right, contingent means, like, practical contingency. Fine, that's true. Give me evidence that that the first one might be right. Very good. Exactly. Right? Is in order to figure out which one he meant to the first, sometimes you got to look at how he responds. But since his responses are both, right, not practical, but fundamental, right? 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 Okay, good. So now, let's take this together and let's say, what is the conceptual question that Rabbeinu Yonah seems to really be asking, right? Let's bracket the practical one for a second, right? And let's focus on if Rabbeinu Yonah means this versus this, right? The fundamental answer versus the fundamental answer. What's the conceptual question that he seems to be asking? Right? Meaning, what's the identity of Rosh Hashanah? What is it? Is it? Right? Meaning, is it? Let's call it, right? Rosh Chodesh plus, right? Let's say, right? Or Chag, right? Right? That seems to be the question that he's asking, right? If Rosh Hashanah is just Rosh Chodesh plus, so then similar halachot will be carried over from Rosh Hashanah, right? From Rosh Chodesh to Rosh Hashanah, right? And just like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh doesn't really become Rosh Chodesh during the day, so the night of Rosh Hashanah is less Rosh Hashanah than, but if it's a chag, it's fundamentally a chag, it just happens to fall out on the first day of the month, then what is going to be the model for learning its halachot? Not Rosh Chodesh, but Yom Tov, right? And think about it. That seems to be what he's saying, right? Because what are the two arguments he puts forward in the second possibility that you do repeat, right? That the mitzvah of Yom Tov is stronger, right? So really, he's making a hybrid position, which is, right? Rosh Hashanah, right, equals Chag plus Rosh Chodesh. Is that clear enough, right? It is a hybrid, but it's more Chag than Rosh Chodesh, right? Here, inyan yom tov yoter yeshlan lanu ladunoto kimo yom tov mi ladunoto kimo Rosh Chodesh. Right? We treat it like yom tov more than we treat it like Rosh Chodesh. Right? Right? Which is this. Right? It is Chag and Rosh Chodesh. Right? But he seems to have two formulations. Right? Which is, this is one formulation, right, which is inyan yom tov yoter yesh lanu yom ladunoto kimo yom tov mi ladunoto kimo Rosh Chodesh, right? Right? His second formulation might even be stronger, which is, right, ein mazkirin inyan Rosh Chodesh klal, right? Sorry, that was also, no, sorry, that was the other formulation. Alima tfe, right? It's stronger, right? Alima tfe, it's stronger. It's more Yom Tov, right? Because it has Isra Malacha, right? It's stronger. Alternatively, if you wanted to, you could say, right, you could take this and highlight this more, which is, Ein anu maskirin inyan Rosh Chodesh klal, right? Which you could say at some level, at least in terms of its Kedusha, is that Rosh Hashanah equals Rosh Hashanah, right? Right? Not Rosh Chodesh. right? Right, Rosh Hashanah is its own unique idea, right? Unique conceptual model, right? It's its own conceptual model, not... what just happened? its own conceptual model, not just Rosh Chodesh, maybe not even Rosh Chodesh in the normal sense at all. Okay? So you see that this very small little... right, halachic question becomes, for Rabbeinu Yonah at least, it seems to be not just a question of do you repeat or not repeat, but what is the identity of Rosh Hashanah? Right, is Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh plus? Right? Or is it, no, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's a Chag, which happens to fall out on the first of a month. But fundamentally, its identity is Rosh Hashanah. It's Chag. It's a Moed. And therefore, just like Yom Tov and Shabbat, their holiness really starts in full force as soon as the sun sets, right? And therefore, it's at that point where you start having to reflect on that and to note that in davening, and without that you have to repeat, there's something missing. The same is true of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. However, in the time we have left today, and then you'll tell me, and maybe we can flesh this out a little bit tomorrow, is there was one position, and this is perhaps the only position that is known from this posek. But the Chaye Adam is a very famous posek. But in the Chaye Adam, he quotes a position of Rav Aveli Passivlier. I'm not sure I pronounced that right. Which seems to raise a different conceptual possibility here. And this relates not to what we just said, to Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, or Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron, but to a different part of davening, and that is Atak Hamelech HaKadosh. Okay? Hamelech HaKadosh. So, someone quickly, al regel achat, give me the basic halachot of Hamelech HaKadosh, right? We're going into the Aseret Yemei Tshuva before you know it. Right? What are the halachot of Hamelech HaKadosh, the other things we add in Shmoneh Esrei? Do we have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei if we forget them? Do we not? What's the halacha? Okay, so in Hamelech, sure, if you remember within a second, great. Right? You remember within a second, that's fine. You can just switch it. That's fine. Okay, but let's, leaving aside the question of how long you have to remember, right? We have six additions or changes to Shmoneh Esrei during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. What are they? Two brachot change. What are they? Right? So, right, one we just mentioned, which is Hakel HaKadosh becomes HaMelech HaKadosh. And the other is that Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat becomes HaMelech HaMishpat. And then we have four other changes, right? Which are the four additions. Right, Zachreinu Lechayim, right, Nichamocha, right, Uchtov Lechayim Tovim, right, etc. Right, so we have one in the first bracha, one in the second bracha, right, one in Modim, one in Sim Shalom, right? So, those four additions, which are Gaonic, right, those aren't from the Gemara. Do we repeat Shmoneh Esrei if you forget them? No. If you forget Hamelech HaKadosh, as Moshe correctly notes, after you have the chance to make it up, right? More than Toch Kedei Dibur, you start the next bracha, whatever, right? Do you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei? Yes. What about Hamelech HaMishpat? What if you forget Hamelech HaMishpat? Do you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei? So this is a little bit more complicated, right? This is a little bit more complicated. the answer is not so simple. You all grew up being told you don't have to. And that is indeed the standard Ashkenazi position. It is quoted by the Ramah from Rabbeinu Yonah. And the argument is because even if you forget to say it, you still said the word melech. Right? Because it goes from melech leiv tzedakah mishpat to melech ha-mishpat. You should know that this is a minority position, objectively speaking. In all of Rishonim, it is mentioned once by Rabbeinu Yonah. It is the position of the Ramah, but it is rejected. Shulchan Aruch does not paskin that way. Shulchan Aruch paskins you do repeat Shmona Esrei. And not all of the Ashkenazi poskim on Shulchan Aruch agree with the Ramah either. The Taz does not agree with Shulchan Aruch. Agree with the Ramah, for example. Right? So, the standard Sfardi Psak in Shulchan Aruch is you do repeat, and even amongst Ashkenazi poskim, like standard Ashkenazi poskim on Shulchan Aruch, it is not actually agreed upon. Growing up, you heard that you don't repeat, because that's what the Ramah says, and that is probably the most common Ashkenazi Psak. But you should just know, it's not actually a majority Psak. It's just the standard Ashkenazi Psak. I personally, in one of my many idiosyncrasies, cannot bring myself to paskin this way, because it just does not bear itself out in the sugya, and I think, and it really is such a minority position in Rishonim. And again, even some of the Ashkenazi Achronim and Shulchan Aruch do not agree with the Ramah. The Taz, for example, suggests not repeating brachot, because that would be a suffix brachot, right? Would be a problem of suffix bracha, right? Because if you paskin like the Ramah, and you go back, right? I remember at, you know, at Semach David, and then I go back, right? Right, that might be bracha vatala. The Taz's suggestion is that what you should do is you should finish Shmona Esrei. Is that if you finish Shmona Esrei and realize that you finished, that you forgot Amalach HaMishpat, that you say another Shmona Esrei, but have in mind that it's a voluntary tefillah, tefillat nedava. Okay. It's definitely a minority position. It's the one I personally favor. I'm not telling you should paskin that way. It's definitely out of the mainstream, right? Right? Maybe we can look at the sugya inside, if you want. But at any rate, yes, the standard Ashkenazi psak following the Ramah is that you should not repeat Shmona Esrei for either. But HaMelech HaKadosh, there is no machloket about. HaMelech HaKadosh, everyone agrees that you repeat Shmona Esrei. Okay? The question that the Chayadim raises, however, is, did anyone get to the Chayadim, by the way? No? Okay, so you know what we're going to do? I'm going to hold off. I'm going to read with you the first half of the Chayadim just to get us there. But the actual position, you read yourselves tomorrow. We'll talk about it in Shir tomorrow, and I'll give you a few more sources to flesh it out, okay? But let's just get the background. So, Bracha Shlishit Nikrei Kedushat Hashem. The third Bracha of Shmona Esrei we call Kedusha of Hashem. She Ata Kadosh. The Choteim Hakel HaKadosh. And the end of it is Hakel HaKadosh. Vim Ta'a V'Siyem HaMelech HaKadosh Ein Tzarech Lachzor. If you forgot on a general basis and you said HaMelech HaKadosh in a normal weekday, you don't repeat. U'Va'aseret Yimei Tshuva M'Siyem HaMelech HaKadosh. And during the 10 days of Tshuva between Hashem and Yom Kippur, you finish it with HaMelech HaKadosh. Vim Ta'a V'Siyem HaKel HaKadosh. And if you accidentally said Hakel HaKadosh, Im Nizkar, this is what Moshe said before. Im nizkar betoch kedei dibur. If you remember within, let's call it 2 seconds, v'amar hamelech hakadosh, and you switch it, you say hakel kadosh, hamelech hakadosh, yatsa. So that's fine. You don't have to repeat. That counts as repeated as having fixed your mistake. V'im lav. If you remembered only later on, tzarich lachzor l'rosh ha'tfilah. You got to go back. V'hu adin im misupakim amar. This is true even if you're not sure whether you said it. Tzarich lachzor l'rosh ha'tfilah. Because the assumption is you didn't do it, right? Why is the assumption that you, right? If you're unsure, why is the assumption that you didn't say it properly? Because we assume that. Yeah, exactly. You say what you normally say. And therefore, he says, there is a position that, right, so now, when it comes to Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, right, so after 30 days, after 90 times saying it, so then when it's a suffix, whether you said it properly, you don't have to repeat, because we assume you've changed your norm, right, and some people think you can just repeat Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem 90 times, right, and that's enough, right, That's a machloket. But he says you can't do that here. Ke'ech yomar habracha, right? Ein shayach kan takana hanal shiomar tzadi pamim. You can't just say 90 times hamel hakadosh, hamel hakadosh, hamel hakadosh. That doesn't help because you would have to say baruch ata Hashem with Hashem's name, hamel hakadosh, to change your, you know, habit. Ke'ech yomar habracha. And you can't just say God's name, right, in a bracha 90 times for no reason. Right? And therefore, even by a suffake, even if you're unsure whether you said Mashiva Ruach, sorry, whether you said Hamelech HaKadosh, you have to go back. Okay? You know what? We can do this two ways. Do you want me to once through read you this position, and then you can think about it tonight, I'll give you some more sources, and we'll flesh it out tomorrow and shear? Or do you want to do it totally yourselves? I'm okay with either. You just tell me. Anyone else? Other people want me to read it through you once, just so you have it, and you can think about it in Seder tomorrow? Yeah? Okay, fine. Fine. Okay, so anyone who wants to do it themselves can close their ears right now and, you know, shut me off, because that's what I'm going to do. Well, we won't analyze it today, but I'll read it with you. And I want you to think about, it could be this is a machloket with Rabbeinu Yonah, it could be it's different, I want you to think about it, okay? V'hagon Moreinu Harav Avli Pasivlor, however you pronounce that name, Nero Yair, Amar Kan Din Michudash. He has a very novel halacha. Shim Ta'a B'Leil Rosh Hashanah V'lo Amar HaMelech HaKadosh. That if you forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, Eino Tzarich Lachzor. You don't repeat. Kedin ta'av lo hizkir ya'alev yavo b'leil rosh chodesh she'eino tzarich lechzor. Machmat she'ein mikadshin et achodesh balayla. Because you don't sanctify rosh chodesh at night. Im kein gam b'leil rosh hashanah hadin kein she'ein tzarich lechzor. And if that's the case, the same is true by Rosh Hashanah, that if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh, you don't repeat. Ad kan lashon haga'on hanal. That is this genius's position. Okay? So tomorrow, that's what I want you to do. I want you to analyze his position. He's quite clear conceptually what he's saying. I want you to do two things tomorrow. One is I want to make sure that you can articulate his svara. What does it tell you about the way he thinks about Rosh Hashanah? Right? And the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. Second is I want you to figure out, is this in any way, does it work in any way with the second position Rabbeinu Yonah or not? Right? Or is it necessarily in tension with Rabbeinu Yonah? Okay? Think about that. And what I'll do is I'll send you an updated version of this source sheet. I'll leave all this, like, equivalent of the board that we put on it. Right? I'll leave it on so that you have the summary of what we did today. And I'll add a source or two. And tomorrow we'll try to flesh out the position, this position, okay? Fine. That's what I want you to think about tomorrow. Tomorrow, hopefully, if all goes well and none of you have corona in your second test, right, and you're all free, we will have normal morning Seder actually in the Beit Midrash. Amazing. I know all the things we used to take for granted. And I look forward to having an actual Seder with you in person. It also means I could theoretically put slightly harder sources because I'll be around for Seder for you to ask me questions, which will be nice. They won't be. They're really not hard sources. And then, as I see Ray Wasserman just sent out, you'll have a trip on Wednesday to celebrate being totally out of Bidud and welcome to Israel and things like that, which I know, right, for at least one of you, where'd you go? It's your first time in Israel. So how many people is your first time in Israel? No, just one of you? Fine. Well, at any rate, right, you'll get to go to the Kotel, experience a little bit of Israel. Okay, and some of you I'll see later. I'm coming to learn with guys B'Chavrusa later on today, so I'll see some of you later. Okay? Fine. See you guys later.